This is 1440 in Nebraska, all sports leader, Koopsy, brought to you by the Sower. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Wyatt Koopsy. Alongside my partner is Eric Humley, and we got a great show for you today. We got some ups and downs, highs and lows throughout Concordia Athletics. We're going to start off with football, who played their last and final game against Hastings on November 13th. With a very dominant defensive win, 17-7 over Hastings Broncos.
That was a great game for us, not just as you said defensively, but we had a pretty good offensive game too. It took a little bit to get started, but Jonah Wyan did very well. He carried the ball 33 times for 128 yards and a touchdown. That's very good for him. That's his second straight 100-yard game, and sadly it's at the end of the season.
Yeah, a great running performance. All those yards really were chunk yards. Like, he get five here, five there, run a six. Longest of the day was a 15-yarder late in the game. When you get those chunk plays, it really wears on a defense because the offensive line is just making you pay.
Yep, they most definitely are. As for passing, DJ McGarvey went 18 for 39. He had one interception, 182 yards, a touchdown, and his long was 23.
Yeah, and he was only sacked once. And credit the O-line. Normally we have had problems with sacks and issues with throwaways, but the O-line really stepped up big time and only allowing that one sack. The receiver of the game, in my opinion, was Arthur Anderson with 8 receptions, 63 yards, and one touchdown. He was just picking apart that Bronco defense down the side with short screen passes, getting them chunk yards.
Yeah, that's a great way for him and Caden Barron, who is second in receiving with 6 catches, 77 yards. Both of those guys had a great game, and for their final game as Concordia Bulldog, that's great for them to end it like that.
It really is. And Caden Barron had a beautiful reception and a fight for extra yards. I don't know how many Broncos it took. It took about maybe 9 different Broncos to try to pull him down after he gets all the way down to the 4-yard line. That was just a great play.
Yeah, that was a great play. It was a great effort by him.
It really was. And on the defensive side, we really came up strong. Lane Napier had 13 total tackles once again, half a tackle for loss, 6 solo and 7 assisted. Really, the defense was phenomenal. We forced 2 interceptions, one from Carson Kaur, returned for 9 yards, and then Jorge Ochoa got his second interception in 2 games, and that was returned for 4 yards. We're in the right spots.
Yeah, it looks like we're finally starting to read offenses a lot better since we're getting a lot more picks going in the secondary. And even in the linebacker position, as you said, Jorge Ochoa had one pick, and last game, Lane Napier had a pick of his own. For sacks, we had 2 total sacks. Cajun Cox had one, and Devon Pauly had the other one.
We're getting to the quarterbacks almost every week. We don't have a segment about football without telling the defense got a sack or two. So we are able to get to the quarterback. Even with young players, Devon Pauly is a freshman. Let me remind you, he is a freshman putting up really good numbers. He had 3 total tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 sack. So for him being so young, he has a lot, not just proved, but hold on to. Like, he's going to be a really good ball player these next 3 years.
Oh, he most definitely is. He's going to improve and get better and get stronger. As for special teams, Kirill Kolmus was GPAC Special Teams Player of the Week. So congratulations to him. I believe that's our 8th GPAC Player of the Week this year.
Yeah, and surprising numbers. And honestly, that's a great way to end the year on a 6-game winning streak, no less.
This is the first time that we have swept all Nebraska other Nebraska teams,
right?
So Midland, Doan, and Hastings. This is the first time we've beaten them all since 1970, I believe.
Yeah, 1979. What a great performance this season. And we finished the season 7-3 overall, 7-3 in GPAC play. Coach Dabakow's best year as a head coach.
Yeah, you know, it's a great improvement from last year. Last year starting off 4-0 and then ending 4-4. It's great to see the improvement.
Right, and we proved ourselves to be in the top 5 GPAC team as we sit number four in GPAC in the final rankings, with Dort being ahead of us because they beat us head-to-head. Then you got Northwestern, and then obviously Morningside being number one. I say that's a huge improvement. We were finished, we were supposed to be in seventh, I believe, in preseason poll, and we jump up to finish fourth in GPAC. That's huge.
Speaking of GPAC, we have a couple of GPAC honor rolls for soccer.
Nice.
As for women's soccer, Grace Sunskin is first team all GPAC. Madeline Hugan is second team all GPAC. And there's a couple honorable mentions. Allie Downing, Michaela Martinez, and Kaylee Ward. Congratulations to them. You guys had a great season. Looking forward to next year and see how we improve. As for the men's, we didn't have a first team all GPAC. Yassine Besai, Iker Casanova, and David Moreno were second team all GPAC. Honorable mentions were Decker Matamo and Garrett Perry. So congratulations to everybody on that soccer team, not just those who were named all GPAC. You guys had a great season, hard fought one. Go get them next year, really.
Yeah, right. The only thing I have is Yassine Besai should be in first team GPAC, in my opinion. He has been the Bulldog leader for the last 2 years. I don't see why he should not be GPAC first team, but congratulations to him being second team. That's still a huge honor, and keep it going for the next future years. We're going to continue the GPAC trend as we are going to talk about the GPAC tournament for volleyball that just happened. Concordia went on to play College of St. Mary in Omaha, Nebraska on November 10th as part of the GPAC tournament. And they beat them finally 3-2. We finished a fifth set. This is the first time we've beaten College of St. Mary this season. What a performance. We won the first set 25-20, lost the second 25-22, won the third 25-15, lost the fourth 29-27, and finally we capped it off with a 15-13 win in the fifth set. That was just a dogfight right there.
That was a very good dogfight. It's great to see us being able to actually finish, just like how we did against Midland the week before. You know, we really ramped it up when it came time to ramp it up, and we had all the momentum going into that game after beating Midland, getting swept by them earlier in the year and then losing to them 3-2. And then same thing basically with College of St. Mary. It was basically a revenge game. We went in and said, you're not going to beat us, just like how we did against Midland.
Exactly. It was a great performance. By our defense, we had 21 total blocks to College of St. Mary's 9 blocks. So our defense was all over the net. Cameron Offner leading the way with 16 digs. Right behind her was Bree Burwhistle with 15 digs. And then Rebecca Gabhart with 14 digs. And two others who had double-digit digs was Lexi Kriesel and Tyra Cullahan. So a really good performance by our defense. And speaking of Tyra Cullahan, once again, she leads the Bulldogs in assists with 34. She's just letting the Bulldogs work.
Yeah, she really is. She's always up there in the assists. But we're also seeing Bree Burwhistle get her own assists. She's second on Bulldogs for assists. She had 19 that game. She's really coming up with the assist. I think she's kind of a prodigy of Tara Callahan.
She is, and that's going to be huge once Callahan leaves. Burwhistle can definitely take over and be that provider with assists on the offensive side. And speaking of the offensive side, Gabby Nordacre once again leads the way for the Bulldogs with 17 total kills on 45 attempts. It's a great performance.
Cameron Oppner also had 12 kills of her own. Carly Rodaway had 10 kills of her own. So multiple double-digit kills in that category. That's great to see.
It really is, and that's huge for our Bulldogs to be able to get there. Especially in long sets like that fourth set that went to 29-27. Like, that's a long set.
That's a very long set.
Like, no, cap off is normally 25, but you got to win by 2, and apparently it kept going. Then that set up the GPAC championship game at Jamestown University, and we tried. We played the number one team in the nation who was undefeated, and they still somehow remain undefeated. They swept us. 3-0.
Yeah, Jamestown right now is just, they're just different. They've only been out of the third set, I think, total of 5 times the whole year. Those sets for us against them went 25-21 Jamestown, 25-18, and 25-17.
Yeah, it's hard to swallow, and we still played very well. Tyra Cullahan had 22 assists and 11 digs. Cameron Opfner had 10 kills and 10 digs of her own. Erica Heinzerling had 11 kills as well. We're still putting up numbers, just not enough to beat the number one team.
No, not enough to beat the number one team. That number one team is very good. But Bree Birtwistle also had 10 digs of her own. She had 6 assists, so she's also trying to get in that elite category against the number one team in the nation. So that's good for her.
Yeah, we just got to find a way to beat the number one team in the nation. And if we can do that, we have a better shot in the playoffs. Speaking of playoffs, volleyball is in the playoffs for the 3rd year in a row, 4th year all time. So congratulations to them. They will play Ave Maria University at home inside Friedrich Arena on November 20th. That game starts at 1 p.m. And show up and show out. This is the opening round of the playoffs. We get a home playoff game. This will be exciting.
Yeah, I know this is the week of Thanksgiving break right after this. So don't go home early. Stay and watch this game. It'll be a great game. It's the first round of the playoffs, as you said. We got to make it loud and we got to make it proud.
Oh yeah, we got to pack that house and show up and show out for your Concordia Bulldogs. Moving on to the basketball side of things, our women's basketball played Briarcliff and it was not pretty. It was a 74-68 loss to Briarcliff and we just did not look right. Tayshia Rushton had 16 points and 3 rebounds. And then the second leading scorer came off the bench. Taylor Farrell had 10 points of her own. We just could not get anything going. The first quarter was back and forth. I'll give them that. It was you never knew who was going to take the lead. And then all of a sudden, coming into the second quarter, Briarcliff won that quarter 22-14. And then after that, we could not come back.
That's a tough one because we're coming off a great win, 88-80 against Dakota State University, and then we come back out and we basically lay an egg. I mean, there's not much to say about it. We only had 2 players get double-digit points. Other than that, not much. They just didn't play well. You know, we just got to shake that off and get on to the next one and don't let this distract us from what our long-term goal is.
Right. I mean, we have hopes to get into the national championship game. Like, that's where the expectations lie with this Bulldog team. And a rough start, you know, 2-2, 0-1 in GPAC. Hopefully we can bounce back against Midland on November 17th. That game starts at 6 p.m. That'll be inside Friedrich Arena. Show up and show out for that game. That should be a good one.
And then this Saturday, they play Dort University on November 20th at 4 p.m. That's in Sioux Center, Iowa.
Support your Bulldogs either via online or at Sioux City. Moving on to men's basketball, they played 2 games over last week. Their first game was against Peru State, and I tell you what, that was a tremendous game. Came down to the wire. It was a 91-90 win with a Ryan Holt game-winning 3-pointer. It was a tremendous play, and when I asked Coach Limbeck about the shot, I interviewed him after the game. This is what he said.
Right, I knew these guys were ready for that moment, right? I just didn't know which guy was going to make the play, and so proud of AJ. He could have forced up a shot, and he kicks it to a wide-open guy, and that unselfishness, Ryan, I think will really help us down the road, trusting each other to make plays like that.
Yeah, and he's not wrong. If they work as a team, they are very dominant. If teamwork is their strength, then they can go very far. We had 5 total players with double digits, with Ryan Holt leading the way with 24 points. He was 4-for-7 from the 3-point range. He was on fire. You also had Carter Kent hitting 19 points and grabbing 4 rebounds of his own. And Gage Smith getting 18 points, 7 rebounds.
Noah Shute came off the bench and scored 13 points of his own. And then A.J. Watson had 10 points of his own. So this team is working as a team, and they're trusting each other to make the game-winning three-pointer shot in this game, as A.J. Watson did with Brian Holt.
Right, and A.J. finished with 4 assists. That includes the game winner and just an all-around great performance. Can't really say that for the Briarcliff game. We lost that game 65-48. Can't believe we only dropped 48 points. Only 2 guys had double digits. That was Noah Shute with 16 and A.J. Watson with 11. We did not look like ourselves. We only had a total of 7 assists. We weren't really throwing the ball around.
No, yeah, I don't know what happened there. I mean, we kind of just came out, and I think we were expecting it to be an easy game after coming off a great victory that we just had, and we just didn't come to fight, and Briarcliff showed us what we did wrong, basically.
Yeah, and the turnover margin was not on our favor. We had 17 turnovers to Briarcliff's 12, and we just could not capitalize on those turnovers that we created. A disappointing loss, but hopefully they can bounce back when they face Midland on November 17th. That is a home game inside Friedrich Arena. That game will start at 7:45 p.m. Then they head to Sioux Center, Iowa on November 20th to play Dort University. That game will start at 5:45 p.m. Men are now sitting 5-1 overall and 0-1 in GPAC. Hopefully they can get a GPAC winning streak.
Yep, and you know, last thing here, wrestling had the first home duel last weekend against Hastings, Nebraska. They ended up losing that duel 29-17, and Concordia didn't really wrestle too well. We only had 3 wins. One of them was a forfeit. Jacob Tells got a pin in the second period, so that's really good for him. And Mason Garcia tech-fouled his guy, earning us 5 points there, but other than that, we didn't have anything, and Hastings kind of slapped us around a little bit. They had multiple pins against us, and we just didn't wrestle good for our first home duel.
Yeah, which is very unfortunate. We had high hopes for this program, and hopefully they can bounce back in their next tournament, as well as the tri-duel coming up in December. Hopefully they can get it done.
Yeah, their next tournament will be this weekend at the University of Nebraska Kearney Open on November 20th. That tournament starts at 9 a.m. in Kearney, Nebraska.
And that's all the time we have for you today. We will not have a podcast next week because it is Thanksgiving break and we are all on vacation because we need it. So tune in 2 weeks to hear the next available podcast and see what your Bulldogs are up to. Thanks for tuning in. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please email us at cunekubske@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at CUNEKubski and Twitter
at Kubski.
Thank you all. Have a great day.
Bye.